Welcome to the College Football Bros, the podcast with A-plus game managers. And now, here are your hosts, Michael, Ryan, and Trey Newman.
Welcome to the College Football Bros podcast. I am Michael Newman, and I'm joined by the brother who I'm sure had a fine weekend.
It was very fine. That's me, Ryan Newman.
And by the other brother, who almost won $25,000 this weekend.
Oh, so dang close. That's me, Trey Newman.
All right, so we gotta tell that story. What happened, Trey? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I like to listen to another podcast out there, Pardon My Take, and they have this like contest on their app that is, you pick the NFL games against the spread. So this past week, there were actually 10 NFL games that they had against the spread. I happened to win all of them. I went 10 for 10. Ridiculous, absurd. And then the thing is, though, to win the 25 grand, you have to predict exactly the Monday Night Football score, and the team that wins. And so I had the Rams 24-23 against the Bears. Rams held their end. They scored 24 exactly, but the Bears kind of got stuck in the mud and couldn't do it.
So you have to go. You have to win all 10 before you even get the opportunity to guess the score for the Monday night game.
I mean, so it's a very almost impossible contest, but I was somehow in the thick of it.
And like the Bears had their chances, you know, especially at the end. It was 24-10. Yeah, it was 24-10, and we were just hoping, okay, Bears just get two more touchdowns and miss the extra point on that last one, or go for two, go for the win.
Yeah, they could have gone for two.
Something like that.
It wasn't totally unfeasible, and it's just amazing that I even had the chance winning the 10 games. And it's kind of crazy, because as you guys know, I nailed the Nebraska-Ohio State score on the number. So it was just one of those random weekends I kind of saw things.
Yeah, you were money this weekend.
So that was a lot of fun to cheer for. If we were in the Discord just talking about the game all game long, that Monday night game, just cheering for Trey to win 25K. So if you want to join in nights like that, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/collegefootballbros. Maybe we can get enough people to join that you'll get $25,000 anyway, Trey.
That's right.
That would be nice.
It was cool, though. Right. It was cool.
Whole Patreon like talk about it, the whole Discord, it was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's cool.
All right. So also be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CFB Bros. Subscribe both on YouTube and in your podcast app. It just helps us get more downloads, helps us with advertisers and getting more listeners. So we'd appreciate that. And you can also support the podcast by considering our sponsor.
Yes. Our sponsor is MyBookie. You can go to mybookie.ag. And, you know, when we started this podcast, you know, a lot of people, I mean, even more so now, they're asking us, it seems like, oh, who are you going to bet on? Who's the best team? Like, who are you going to go for or whatever? Who do you think, you know, it'll be Ohio State or Clemson? Which spread do you like? And I mean, it's always tough, but I always tell people, like, I'm always thinking, like, it's not necessarily, you know, what exactly is your betting, but where you're betting, okay? That can make a big difference on which website. So mybookie.ag is a fantastic option. They have every bet you can possibly imagine. They have dollar for dollar match on your first deposit up to $1,000. They have free bets. They have boosted odds. I mean, this past weekend was crazy. They have these things called lightning deals where they just give you free points on teams. And it's like they gave you 6 points on the Monday night game. They gave you 3 points on the Sunday night game, just free points that you could take. And it's like, okay, you have to bet it. So they have that every week.
We're always in the text thread with the bros. Like, hey, lightning deal. Like,
yeah, lightning deal. Now. Yeah. I mean, it was like over $200 worth of bets that you could make. And it seems to happen every weekend. They have such great promotions there, that I just haven't seen from any other betting website. So go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code CFBROS, all caps, and match your first deposit up to $1,000 and start winning now.
All right. Awesome. Let's recap week 8 here briefly. We're going to have a little bit. Last week, we did a different format for our recaps, which I think is going to be good going forward. But we do have one game we want to get into, kind of like the old format. We really want to break this game down. Penn State lost to Indiana in overtime.
How?
36-35. Yeah, Trey, how did that happen?
Oh, it was an insane game. And if you actually look at some of the advanced metrics, the post-game win expectancy was off the charts for Penn State, mainly because they outgained the Hoosiers 488-211. It's pretty amazing that the Hoosiers were in the game or won the game. There was a period though in the game where it kind of looked like Penn State wasn't really going to be in it. Clifford was kind of shaky at times. They missed a pair of field goals. They were down 10 at half. But late in the game, of course, Penn State seemed in control. They held the Hoosiers on a fourth down at Indiana's own 14 with less than 2 minutes to go. So Penn State's got the ball up one. The Hoosiers then smartly let Devin Ford score on the first play. And you could tell when he was running in the end zone, he knew he shouldn't score, but he didn't know. Yeah. He just didn't expect to be in that situation. But still, you know, okay. If he goes down, the game's over. But you know what? Okay, he scores. They go up 8 with just over a minute to go. You're still sitting pretty. But Penix had a great drive, led him down to score, made it a really nifty 2-point conversion to actually tie the game, go to overtime. Then, in overtime, Penn State scores to go up 7. You think, oh, they finally did it. But no, Indiana scores. Penix found Wap Fillier on a great catch in the corner of the end zone. You think, oh, they're going to go to second overtime. No. Tom Allen rolls the dice, goes for 2. I like it. This is where it just got crazy. He rolls out Michael Penix. He kind of scrambles, and he just kind of hurls himself and scrambles nearly out of bounds, but somehow got the ball kind of inside the pylon, up across the goal line. It was incredible.
So close.
The play on the ball field somehow.
Yeah, the call on the field, whatever it was, was going to have to stand there. Yeah. Like, you just could not tell. The ball did, you know, hit out of bounds before it hit the pylon. Yeah. So you think, oh, maybe he's out short. But the way the ball was faced, the nose of the football might have been touching the white.
Yeah, because his momentum was...
We need microchips.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
It's time to get to the microchips, man.
I 100% agree that it was what the call on the field was going to stand. But if you said you had to make a guess, I think he actually did get the ball, the tip of the ball to the white. I think he did.
Like if you had to bet your life,
I'm 51-49 that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might be too. I'd have to watch it again before I bet my life. But yeah.
Wow.
It was close.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the fourth quarter deal when you know you're going for you're up one, okay, if you just go down you win the ball game. I mean, like, that is such a hard thing to kind of teach, I guess, but I feel it's an undertaught maybe thing by a lot of folks out there. It's like, I mean, if you're the coach right there in that situation before your team goes out on the field, I would feel like that would be one thing that you would communicate to your guys, like,
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Go for it.
I was going to say, it's not something, you probably really teach. It's something you call in the moment, right? Yeah. Like before the play, you got to communicate. And I actually watched a video with Urban Meyer talking. He was breaking down this play. And by the way, Urban Meyer, I think, is one of the best analysts on TV. Yeah, he's great.
He's good.
But anyway, he was talking about this, saying, like, they had a play, you know, at Ohio State in the playbook that was just called, I forget what the name of the play was, but it was just a running play. Let's just call it run. It was run down, which just means if you get the first down, go down.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of prepared for a situation like that. Maybe, I don't know if Penn State was or not, but apparently they didn't communicate.
That's the thing because I was thinking about it in relation to, I mean, I coach basketball, but it's like one of those things, strategies where it's, you know, the other team I know doesn't have any timeouts. And if they, you know, we're up by 4 and they score a basket, like, if you look up at that clock and there's 5 seconds, do not touch the ball because the clock will run out. Don't even try to think about inbounding the ball. And that's something I would communicate to my players before, you know, they go out on the field, on the court. It's like, hey, you know, so, you know.
You know what's crazy, though, is that there were 2 instances this weekend that this happened. Todd Gurley of the Falcons. Gurley of the Falcons on Sunday. The only different scenario was that they were down by 2. With a little over a minute, but
that's definitely different.
Gurley knew, because there's actually audio that Matt Ryan says to go down before the goal line, and the Lions let him score. He tried not to, but in both instances, the team that scored ended up losing, which, you know, you still think the odds are in your favor, but they lost. So that kind of proves like you got to do it.
And you can say, oh, is that too much to expect for James Franklin to have been ready for, you know, 100% of the time? Of course, you're going to make mistakes. But on the other side, Tom Allen was ready. I mean, they let him score. So they knew the situation.
Yeah, no, that's That's a coaching error. I mean, you got to be like Urban Meyer, man. He said it. They have a play for that. You know, you got to have that play. I mean, don't give them any chances, but great game.
Was a great game. Okay. All right, let's get to our takeaways then, our general takeaways from week eight. So we've got, each of us has three. So what's your first takeaway, Ryan?
My first takeaway is the Michigan offense. Looked pretty strong here. I know it's just one game, but that was an encouraging performance from the Maize and Blue. Joe Milton was very efficient, and they ran the ball extremely well, which was obviously good to see. Now, I know Minnesota, we kind of touched on it leading up to the year. They're not going to be the same type of defense that they had last year. But still, I mean, they're not chopped liver. I mean, they're well coached and some decent players. But for Michigan to go on the road, put up 49 points in game one is impressive, especially the way they looked. So I think Joe Milton, maybe in this offense, second year, like Michael kind of tries to mention, hey, second year is huge. So
I love year two.
You love year two. So yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't think they'll maybe look always this good, but it's encouraging.
For sure. All right. I got a takeaway from the night before on Friday night. Graham Mertz. My takeaway was going to be when I was preparing for this podcast earlier in the week that he gives Wisconsin a much higher ceiling than Jack Cohn, and still could. We'll get to it. But so in this game, he was 20 for 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns. Just a ridiculous start. And of course, he's a former 4-star guy. So, you know, he's got the pedigree. So you're thinking huge things for Wisconsin this year. You're automatically thinking they seem like a lock to win the West. Unfortunately, he is, of course, now tested positive for COVID-19. Graham Mertz has. So he's going to be out, unless they change the rule, 21 days. Five other players
sounds
also
like
tested
positive. We'll talk about it later, but sounds
sure.
Like they're going to.
Well, we can talk about it now. What do you think?
Seems like they were thinking maybe they're going to edit that rule. Barry Alvarez kind of came out, was like, oh, now that they have, you know, they had a cardiologist, whatever. Yeah, the cardiologist, like, oh, we don't find the heart thing problem in any college athlete. So maybe. So now they're thinking, oh, we might have to revisit that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But also six coaches, including the head coach, Paul Christ, tested positive as well. So yeah, they're pausing team activities for 7 days. So that means no Nebraska game this weekend, and we'll see about Purdue next week and afterwards at Michigan. So it just sucks because like it couldn't have been a better start to the season for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they finally have a quarterback that, you know, brings up since Russell Wilson, they haven't had a game changer there. And now we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll be able to weather this, but it's a tough situation.
I know.
Yep.
But it's hard. All right. Mine kind of going a different direction. Auburn is just one of the luckiest teams out there. they beat Ole Miss 35-28, but in this game, Ole Miss, they scored to go up 28-27 with about 5 minutes to go. On the ensuing kickoff, the ball bounced, and the return man, Sean Shivers, he was kind of indecisive on getting it, on whether he should field it or let it go. He let it go, but it looked like it grazed Shivers' hand, and Ole Miss recovered it in the end zone, what they thought would be a touchdown. The refs ruled it didn't. It didn't touch him, and they didn't even go to replay. That was the thing that, as we know, Lane Kiffin kind of was vocal about. They didn't even make it go to replay. And so I understand maybe it still might not have been overturned, even though it kind of looked like it grazed him. They didn't even review it. And then, of course, Auburn ends up winning. They did, credit to them. It was a great pass to Seth Williams, and he made a great nifty run to end up pulling it out. But man, their Auburn is 3-2, and they could easily be 1-4 as they're sitting today after that Arkansas game and now this game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So would you how much money would you be willing to bet that it did touch Shivers on that?
I agree.
A lot.
Paul would stay on the field no matter what. There.
You think so? You think it wasn't conclusive?
I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like it was 100%.
It's kind of similar like the Indiana one. I would go 51-49 that it did, but
yeah, I'm definitely way higher than 51, but yeah, I guess
the ball didn't like change direction drastically or anything. So
honestly, I need to take a few more looks at it.
Yeah, maybe
I only watched it a couple times.
I could change my mind a few times, but
yeah, but definitely very lucky.
Just don't ask Lane Kiffin to do a math problem though.
After his
his penny tweets.
Yeah. He said he He got fined for his tweets about it and what he owes.
He needed to add a few more pennies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, Ryan, what's another takeaway?
Oklahoma State's defense. This team, man, they're playing lights out right now. They are top 15 in terms of defensive efficiency. They're eighth in the country in points allowed. But, you know, four of the teams in front of them have only played one game so far. So that maybe will look better here shortly. And this past week, I mean, they stifled Brock Purdy. He had less than 5 yards per pass attempt. You know, I think overall, maybe the Oklahoma State is offensively, they're not maybe as explosive as they would have thought or would have wanted to with some of the playmakers that they have. But I think all Oklahoma State fans would be happy if you told them this is what it would look like. Like, our defense would take this large jump and our offense has to sacrifice a little bit. I think they'd be happy. I mean, they're legit on that side of the ball. They're maybe the best defense in the conference. So they're looking pretty darn good. It's impressive.
Yep. Agreed. All right. My next takeaway is LSU could have a quarterback battle brewing there. So TJ Finley, the true freshman, came in and started for Miles Brennan, who was out with an injury. 17 for 21, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick in a 52-24 win against South Carolina. He also ran for a touchdown. And Miles Brennan, I mean, he was playing well. Like, the offense, you know, for the most part, of course, wasn't the problem with LSU to start out the season. But it looks like Brennan's going to be out again this weekend, so they'll go back to TJ Finley, and it's just opportunity number two for him to, I wouldn't say cement the starter job, but if he has another great game, like, you got to keep rolling with the young guy until he screws up.
Yep. All right, my next one is Coastal Carolina. They, you know, in the first few weeks, we've kind of been playful with Coastal Carolina since we've kind of adopted them as a podcast team. But it's seriously time. They're ranked. It's time to really acknowledge them. You got to look at their locker room celebration that they had this past week. If you didn't see it, pretty funny, pretty entertaining. It's just one of the reasons I love college football, those aspects of it. But this is a team. They were picked last in their division. They're now 5-0, playing well. Last week, they beat the Sun Belt favorite, Louisiana. They just beat a solid Georgia Southern team without their quarterback, McCall. Mm-hmm. I mean, they held Shai Wirtz and Georgia Southern to only 218 yards of offense. We're not saying that they're going to go unbeaten or, you know, beat Bama or anything, and they could very well lose to Georgia State this week, but it's a great story to follow.
Yeah. I mean, they might go unbeaten and beat Bama. Don't rule it out.
Come on. It's possible. It's
fair.
That's pretty awesome. And speaking of just, like, I guess, smaller school games this weekend, I don't know if I'm going to steal one of your guys' takeaways, but how about Rice? Rice's quadruple
doink and not going
field
in.
Goal. Was that, they were playing Middle Tennessee, right? Was that?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. So they were, an overtime game, you know, multiple overtimes, right? And Rice had a chance to win on a field goal. I said it, quadruple doink. It hit the uprights 4 times.
Yeah, the right never one, seen it. Then the middle, then the left, then the middle, then out, right? It was like,
just insane.
Oh my God.
And they ended up losing.
I didn't know it could do that. It's unbelievable.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
And there's no way we've seen four.
It's one thing for it to happen in the middle of the game, but for that to be the game winner, a potential game winner, it's like, oh my God.
I've never seen 3 bounces, right? I don't think I've seen. I've seen probably
3,
two.
I feel like maybe has happened, but yeah, I don't
know. You definitely see the double doink. Double doink a lot, but that
double,
was insane.
Yeah, but triple or quadruple, never. That's for sure. Triple, yeah. I can't think of any, but yeah. Wow. All right. So my last takeaway here was just that Cincinnati seems to be clear head and shoulders above that conference right now in the AAC. They seem like they're really taking a strong hold on it. The defense is very, very, very good. They made Shane Bichel and that SMU offense look like chumps this past week. They stifled them. And then the Cincinnati offense, their ground game was looking pretty good. If you got a great defense and a really good running game, you're tough. Desmond Ridder was awesome on the ground, actually. He had 179 yards and 3 touchdowns of his own rushing, so that was huge. They're not exactly lighting it up through the air, but you're not going to need to with the way their defense and ground game is playing so far. So, I mean, with the way Memphis is kind of looking, and then they took care of SMU here, UCF seems to be kind of falling off a little bit. Cincy is the heavy favorite right now for that conference and then also for the group of five spot.
I was watching this game. The end of the first half, speaking of coaching earlier, Sonny Dykes, just like unbelievable. They're down 14-7. They have two timeouts. They get a first down in their for first and goal. And there's like 26 seconds, I want to say, that was left. No one calls timeout. The clock starts when, obviously, when the chains move. They let it go down to like 5 seconds.
That's insane. Call time.
And like with that offense, you have first and goal with 26 seconds. You think they're probably going to punch it in. And even if not, you at least have three chances before you kick a field goal. So they had to settle for a field goal. It's just, I just, it's unbelievable.
Some of those things are just like, how does that happen?
It just...
And I don't know why some of these teams haven't hired a guy like with the James Franklin situation. At least that one, you know, in contrasting with the Dykes one.
It's not as bad.
Yeah, it's at least more understandable. But like, why don't they have a guy who's in charge of that? Just who's all he can do is just sit up in the press box. He's got headset and mic. He says nothing the entire game. But when there's like an obvious game management decision, he chimes in like,
you got to call timeout. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was an SMU fan, I would just be livid. Awesome. I was livid and I wasn't even yeah. interested.
I can't imagine if it was your team, oh my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
That pissed me off.
Well, my next takeaway moving on is in a couple weeks, we are very likely to have our next, quote, game of the year with undefeated Clemson at undefeated Notre Dame, because Clemson, I guess, sort of took care of business this past weekend against Syracuse. They were a 46.5-point favorite. It was like a 6-point game, right? Late
in
the third quarter.
Made it
interesting.
Yeah, ended up pulling away, winning by 26. They host Boston College this weekend, so likely win. Notre Dame dominated Pitt 45-3. Just poor Pitt. They got off to a great start this season.
Yeah.
Their fans were very excited and just, what is it? It's like three or four straight losses, I think, for them.
It's falling apart.
Yeah. Not good. But Notre Dame now goes at Georgia Tech. So again, they'll be a big favorite. So good chance that that's going to be a really fun game at Notre Dame. I think the point spread in that one has a good chance to be single digits. I don't think it's...
I would say
that's
so.
What I would guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clemson at Notre Dame. Yeah, I would say that'd be single digits. Yeah.
Yep. Is it my turn, Ryan? You done?
I'm done.
I'm going to go with the Tar Heels, North Carolina. They bounced back. They lost to Florida State, of course, the week before. Kind of wondered how they'd come back. They throttled their rival NC State 48-21. Obviously, they were fortunate that Devin Leary didn't go for NC State at quarterback for them, but the Tar Heels still just manhandled them. They forced four turnovers. Their offense had 578 yards. And I really, one thing I do like about the Tar Heels offense, it's very balanced. It's not always just relying on Sam Howell. They've run it really well this year. Both Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, they both went over 100 yards in this game. They had five rushing touchdowns. So Tar Heels offense is fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to our segment for the episode. This was Trey's idea, and I like it. It's yeah, but in Chris Berman fashion. So we each have to pick a team that is maybe highly ranked or off to a good start record wise, and maybe give a little bit of a but. Maybe we're kind of doubting them in some way. So Ryan, why don't you start us off?
Okay. Cincinnati is ranked number 7, but they have no chance of making the playoff. You'd think a team ranked 7th in the country would have a very strong chance of doing that, but their schedule just is not tough enough. And the conference as a whole, the AAC, just hasn't beaten anybody worthy of note. I mean, I know it's only like one, maybe two non-conference games, but that's just the way the reality is right now. The best non-conference win that they will have, or they right now, it's probably Cincinnati's win against Army. Army 6-1, but Army hasn't played anybody, so that one might be it. Or UCF had Georgia Tech. That might be the best team. So it's light. Houston had a chance to beat BYU, which would have been a very, very big win for the conference. And, you know, but with just the overall teams, like UCF already has a couple losses, so they're disappointing. And then, you know, you just need, if you're, you know, Memphis isn't that great right now. SMU just obviously went down to Cincy and didn't look good. But if you were Cincy, you needed to have a very, very strong top of your conference. Like you needed to have a UCF be undefeated also, and like mano-a-mano top 10, 15 teams going at it to kind of prove your worth. And they're just not going to have it. There's nobody in that conference outside of them is in the top 25 right now. So Cincinnati might be good enough, but they don't have a chance.
Okay. That's bleak. I'd have to go through the permutations, but that they would need craziness.
Massive craziness,
yeah. I don't want to say zero chance. I'm hedging my bets a little bit there, but yeah, it's probably low. Very low.
Yeah. What's yours, Mike?
All right. Well, mine is Kansas State. So yeah, they're 4-1, 4-0 in the Big 12, ranked 16th in the AP poll, which I guess resume wise is fine. But I gotta give the big butt. Trey size butt. That guy's got a big butt. Yeah. We can maybe Yeah, check out the Patreon. Maybe we can start. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I'm not sure if they're anywhere close to that good. The OU win, I can't take away from that. That's obviously a good win. But besides that, you got the home loss to Arkansas State. That still counts. They lost at home to a team that's 82nd in SP Plus, and of course was missing some players. I know K-State was too, but to me that kind of negates that OU win. And then the other three wins are against the 51st, 86th, and 119th place teams in SP Plus. So I know there. I mean, that's all you can do is play the teams you're up against. But I guess I want to see more here. And Will Howard has looked promising as a freshman at quarterback, but he's about to face three pretty good defenses. So I think we'll learn a lot about him in the next few weeks. And the biggest reason that I'm lower on K-State than maybe just the average person out there is not even necessarily my opinion. It's the betting markets, because I respect the betting market because I know how hard it is to beat it. And right now they have K-State as a 3.5-point underdog at West Virginia this weekend. Like that's kind of crazy. That's telling that the betting market right now thinks K-State is worse.
But it'll be an upset if West Virginia wins.
It'll be an upset if West Virginia wins. Yeah, good call. Yeah, that's one of our pet peeves is when a favorite wins and they call it an upset because, of course, West Virginia is not ranked. But
yeah.
No, that's I kind of agree with you on K-State there, Mike. They took advantage of Spencer Rattler having his freshman kind of, what do you have, four picks in that game or something, right? It was bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think they're bad. I'm not trying to say that.
They're well coached, they're solid, but
they're all, I think we would all agree they're better than what we thought at this point.
No doubt. So, for sure. No debate. Especially me. I was harsh.
Mine is, it's very early. The Big Ten's only had one game, but I got to say, on Northwestern. I know it. So in particular, I'm particularly saying, but on their offense, they won 43-3 over Maryland. Obviously the issue with Northwestern last year, their offense was dreadful. They needed a major upgrade. A lot of people are instantly going to say that the offense is back and all they needed was a guy like Peyton Ramsey, and Ramsey is a big upgrade. And I like Peyton Ramsey. I'm just not ready to anoint this team as a good offense. Northwestern, they have a great defense, and that's going to keep them obviously in a lot of games. But Maryland, who they played, is atrocious. They started Tua's brother. He couldn't do anything. They had 200 yards of offense. Wow, I'm getting nervous. But Maryland had 200 yards of offense, four turnovers. That helps Northwestern's offense being in good field position. That's not going to happen every game. And then add that to the fact that the Terps defense is not good, and they got absolutely gashed last year left and right. And it's still early, but like one metric, SP Plus, still has the Northwestern offense ranked around 100. Obviously they can still improve, and I have no doubt that they're going to be better than last year. I'm just not ready to say the offense is back yet.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you. Okay. Let's move on to week 9. Let's make our against the spread picks here. So my first question here, though, is we've got three big favorites. Which of these is most likely to be in a close game, you know, late in the third quarter, kind of like Clemson was this past week? So is it Clemson? They're at home to Boston College. They're a 31-point favorite. Is it Alabama at home to Mississippi State? They're favored 30.5. Or Michigan, again, at home to Michigan State, and they're favored 24.5.
Well, I mean, if you just go by the numbers, I guess Michigan State at Michigan would make the most sense, but I'm not going to pick them. I'm going to go with the first one. I'm going to go Boston College at Clemson. You know, Clemson, obviously last week, they were in a close game against Syracuse, and Boston College was better than Syracuse. So we've seen Clemson kind of have some of those lulls in the past. So, and Boston College has kind of proven, hey, they're pretty solid this year. I mean, they can at least have, you know, Phil Dracovich is pretty good quarterback, and that they're a lot better than people anticipated. So I think they could hang in for more than, longer than you would expect.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe they're looking ahead to Notre Dame too.
So. True.
I'm going to say, not just because of the point spread, but I am going to say that Michigan State, Michigan game, you know, everyone's just saying, hey, Michigan State just lost to Rutgers. They're like the worst team ever. But no, Rutgers, I think, is going to be improved this year. I mean, we know obviously Sparty's offense is difficult to watch, but they at least have an above average defense, and Michigan kind of benefited from playing a pretty poor Minnesota defense, I think, in my eyes. So I could see Sparty at least getting this game to the second half and maybe yeah. giving the Wolverines some fits, giving Joe Milton different looks.
Yeah,
not I saying they're going to win at all, but
yeah. Right. No, Trey's locking in Michigan State straight up. That's good.
Yes, yeah, that's money cool. line
bold, but.
No, I think Michigan State, I'm with you, Trey. I don't think they're as bad as that score at Rutgers would indicate. Turned it over 7 times. Like, I know that's bad. I mean, that also shows poorly on them, but it's unlikely to repeat itself. So yeah. I think that score was, you know, potentially misleading. And what's that, Trey?
Yep. No, go ahead.
Okay. I still think their defense is good. They just didn't give them a chance in that game with all the turnovers. But, So
how crazy is it? Because a couple weeks ago, everyone and their mother would have said Mississippi State, but they have just fallen off the wagon. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
One game. Wow. Kylin Hill's off to the NFL.
They got a slew of transfers this week.
It's just
they were like wow. the high of high.
And hey, Leach in the SEC is going to work out. Ooh.
I mean, it still might.
It still could, but
no,
it's,
I know. But I'm not giving up. Definitely, but it's crazy the turnaround.
Yeah,
definitely
it's kind of
to
back to like at least, you know, some of our expectations before the year, where year one might be, you know, slow going, but eventually he'll get it going there.
Yeah,
maybe
we
to
also
what extent,
said that they'd,
we'll see, but
we also said that they probably surprised one or two folks this year, you know, and mm-hmm. so they suppose surprised somebody.
Well, and we got to bring up Jalen Waddle is out for the year, of course, with an injury, which just sucks.
That does suck, man. He's so much fun to watch.
He is so.
Yeah, I mean, love or hate Alabama, he is one of the most fun players to watch. I enjoyed watching him so much.
But you can't not like Jalen Waddle, I feel
he's, like. He's, you know, like they said, though, I'm hoping he's going to come back 100% and he'll be fine. And, you know, it won't hinder his, you know, future.
Right. Okay. Let's get to Memphis at Cincinnati. Big game in the AAC. Cincinnati's favored 7, Trey.
Yeah, and this is a revenge game for Cincinnati. If you remember, they lost to Memphis back-to-back weeks last year to end the season.
Both times
they played the end. They played the end of the regular season. Memphis beat them close. They got to then host the conference championship. They then beat Cincinnati again close. But in terms of this game this year, it's kind of a matchup of strength versus strength. You got Memphis's offense versus Cincinnati's defense. Ryan, you touched on it earlier. Cincinnati, they got a legit top 10 defense at this point. And like you said, they did a good job slowing down SMU. They got Kobe Bryant spelled a little different and Ahmad Gardner. They're locking down receivers in that secondary and they're going to need to against Brady White. But Memphis's offense, they can hurt you in a lot of different ways. And personally, I think Brady White's going to be able to move it enough to at least cover the touchdown spread here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a lot of faith in this Memphis offense, even without DeMonte Coxey, of course, opting to sit the rest of the season. But the last 2 weeks without him, they put up 50 on UCF, put up 41 on Temple. One of their receivers, Calvin Austin, has had over 150 receiving yards in each of those games. So looks like they've kind of found a Coxey replacement. I know Cincinnati's defense is great, but 7 points with Brady White, I'm taking.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I think they are out on a mission here. I don't think Memphis is going to be able to stop them on the ground. Desmond Ridder is going to run wild. And then I think Cincinnati's defense will give Memphis problems on offense. I don't think, especially without a Coxey, Temple and UCF don't have anywhere near the defense that Cincinnati does. It's going to be maybe the best defense that Brady White has played. So, yeah, I'm going to take Cincinnati. I think they'll win by 2 scores. So, I'll take the Bearcats. Not a lock. Not a lock.
Oh, sounded like a lock.
You were ready for it, though. I saw you.
I was ready.
I got a better lock later. So,
okay. Next game we were going to talk about is Wisconsin at Nebraska, but of course we've discussed the issues at Wisconsin, unfortunately. So we'll move on to LSU.
Hey, we don't lose this week.
Yeah, Nebraska didn't lose. There you go.
Didn't lose. That's baby.
A victory in circumstances.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween this weekend. Exactly. We usually do a crazy Halloween episode. Not this year.
This whole year has been crazy.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. And the clocks go back.
Yeah.
Oh. So is that Saturday night?
Night.
They
go back. So oh,
Sunday
nice.
Morning. Goodness. They fall back.
Extra hour.
Get an extra hour of sleep, but less,
I wish they do it in the middle of the week.
On the back end.
Like, I'd appreciate it more if it was like on Wednesday. Like, ooh, all right, I get an extra hour of sleep here tonight.
That's true. That would screw up people's schedule so much.
I know. It's safer to do it on a weekend for most people.
Okay. LSU, -3 at Auburn. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah. You kind of already stole it here with the news on Miles Brennan, looking like he's probably going to be out again. So going to TJ Finley here. Man, he was awesome in that first game and in his replacement. So definitely don't think that'll be much of an issue. Auburn, man, Trey already said it earlier. They are about as fortunate as you can be to be 3-2 at this point. And, you know, because of that, I do like LSU. I'm not really, I know the transitive property doesn't really necessarily work here in college football, but LSU just destroyed South Carolina and just made them, their offense just was humming against them. Meanwhile, South Carolina beat Auburn not like a couple weeks back. So I know this transitive property isn't that great, but I think that is a sign that I just think LSU is just a better team at this point and they're just playing better. And I'm going to take the Tigers. Auburn. No, LSU Tigers.
LSU Tigers,
It's really, really difficult for me because actually some of the numbers kind of lead me to take Auburn, but I'm going to go with LSU as well. I didn't think I'd say it at this point, but right now I have a little more faith in LSU's offense than I do Auburn's.
Yeah.
Bo Nix just has not taken the next step. Even against a shaky LSU defense, I don't have a ton of confidence in them right now. And then they also lost a starting offensive lineman to injury in that Ole Miss game. And Nix has already been running around wild. So that's going to be tough. I just like the way Finley looked, even if it was a conservative game plan. I liked LSU and I think they're going to beat Auburn this week.
Okay. I'll go the other way with Auburn +3. I know LSU's offense has still been very good, which is impressive with all that they lost. But I guess, still not trusting that defense just after one kind of better effort against South Carolina, even against, a Bo Nix led offense. Auburn's got a lot of talent. They're at home. I think LSU might be a little bit better right now, but not quite as much as this road spread would indicate.
When's Malzahn going to get that offense into gear, man?
I don't know. I don't know. When's Chad Morris going to get it in gear? When's Bo Nix on down the line? I'll tell you whose fault it isn't. Seth Williams.
Hey, he's great, man.
He's doing his part.
Northwestern at Iowa. Iowa is favored 2.5. Trey?
Yeah, Iowa, they cannot afford to lose this one. They would fall to 0-2, and both their losses would be to division foes. I'm going to take the desperate Hawkeyes here. It's going to be the first test. I alluded to it earlier. Northwestern, this is going to be their first test going against up against a pretty good defense. We're really going to see how much they've improved in this game. I'm willing to eat crow if they just roll over Iowa. Good for them. But Ramsey's most likely going to need to do it with his arm versus Iowa because they showed that they were able to really slow down Purdue's running game. Iowa in that Purdue game, yes, they lost, but they had 10 penalties for 100 yards, 2 fumbles. I just don't see that duplicating itself in this week. The Hawkeyes, they also outgained Purdue by a pretty good margin. So I think they're going to get the win here, and I'm actually going to make Iowa my lock.
I am with you. I almost made it my lock. I'm not going to go there. I got one I like more later, but just given our expectations before the season, just a week ago, the fact that this point spread is saying that Northwestern and Iowa are basically even teams on a neutral field, I guess I'm just not there yet. Like you were talking about with Northwestern earlier, like one game against Maryland isn't enough for me to kind of, I guess, dramatically change my expectations. Obviously, I'm revising them upward, but a mediocre Nebraska team last year beat Maryland 54-7. So there's at least a small chance. What's that?
50-7
Oh, sorry, 50-7 Okay. That changes everything.
I mean, you know,
I'm making Northwestern my lock.
To realize,
lock it in,
like,
guys.
Hey, whoa, they got it wrong.
No, I'm there. Thank you for correcting me, Ryan. But yeah, I think there's at least a small chance that that game said more about Maryland than it did about Northwestern.
Now I like want to double triple check that that's right, but no, I'm pretty sure it's right, 50-7
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. This is kind of what we were, it's like we're starting from like a few weeks ago and we had these same conversations with some other teams like, well, after 1 week, you can't just like go up against all the preseason expectations. They're really not, it's kind of like, yeah, but I guess we're just, it's like Northwestern still has a lot of issues. They didn't just solve it in one game. Iowa is still a good team. They still have good line play. Their defense is still solid. They still have some nice weapons on the outside. And I just think in Iowa City, they're the better team. So I'm taking Iowa. I thought about my lock as well, but I'll just take them right now.
Ryan, you owe Michael an apology.
Son of a gun. Do I really?
54-7
Nice. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't know what I was so
okay.
convincing.
It's okay. I guess I'm just a bigger husband.
Get on your knees, kiss his feet.
Man, my bad, Mike.
It's okay, man. You just make us look like a real idiot on this podcast.
Yeah, I look like myself. Yeah, there you go. what happened, Ryan?
Next game, we got Texas at Oklahoma State. Cowboys favored 3.5 I feel like these two teams tend to play close games. And Texas is, when you look at Texas, like the last two games they've played, not against Oklahoma State, just this year, it's actually been pretty good. Like you go to overtime against OU. I know it was an ugly game, but ultimately that's a good result. And then they won pretty comfortably against Baylor last week. I know it's a weak Baylor team. But even with that, I'm still taking Oklahoma State. I just haven't liked the way Texas has looked this year, I guess. And with Oklahoma State, you talked about how good the defense is, Ryan. And I think Spencer Sanders being another week removed from his injury, you know, another week in practice can only help him.
What did you say the spread was, by the way?
3.5 Okie State.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll lay those points.
I agree. I am also going to take Oklahoma State. They're the better team right now. I think they've got the far better defense. The offense, I guess I'd maybe give a slight edge to Texas, but it wouldn't be all that big of an edge. As like you said, I think Spencer Sanders is probably getting a little bit better in shape here. I think the offensive line is probably taking a little bit more time to gel for Oklahoma State. And I still expect Chuba Hubbard to really break out at some point. And I could see it happen against Texas. I trust Oklahoma State's defense already right at this point. Don't really trust Texas. In Stillwater, I think they'll win by more than 3.5
I'm going to lay the points as well with Oklahoma State. Sanders, I think he's kind of coming around after his injury, and just the way that they looked against Iowa State really impressed me. Chuba Hubbard, you guys kind of alluded to it. He's kind of starting to look like his old self, and I trust them to get a few more stops than I do the Texas's defense get some stops. So I'm taking Oklahoma State.
Okay, let's get to the biggest game by far of the weekend, probably Ohio State at Penn State. Ohio State's favored 12, Ryan.
It's a lot of points. It's kind of a lot of points right now. We do have, you know, of course, a couple injury concerns for Penn State. We already knew Journey Brown was out but before the year, which is unfortunate. But then, you know, they're starting running back. And then, unfortunately, now Noah Kane is out for them at running back. At least the one thing that had going for them is that was their deepest position, really. So now we'll see probably a lot of Devin Ford at that spot. And he's a sophomore, and he'll be good. I mean, he's a good talented kid. So,
Scored a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't exactly have the biggest day at Indiana, but you know, I think with a little more time as the number one guy, they'll be all right there. And I actually do like Penn State here. Penn State plays Ohio State tough. We've seen it in the past. They really know how to do it. And people may kind of be overreacting a little bit to Penn State losing, obviously, to Indiana. But we kind of touched on the advanced stats, like Penn State was a better team there. Like, there's no real way that they should have lost that game. They were definitely better. I liked how Sean Clifford played, especially on the ground. He added a lot of it on the ground.
Yeah. He came on strong at the end.
His first half was
came on strong
ugly,
at the end. That's what I like to see, man. That's all we're gonna do. I like them. I like their defense. I still think they're good. I saw what Nebraska was able to do a little bit. They were pretty competitive against the Buckeyes in week one, especially the offensive line of Nebraska was able to kind of push around a little bit the defensive line of Ohio State. So I think Penn State might be able to do a little bit of that as well. I don't expect Penn State to win or anything, but I think they can keep it interesting.
I agree. I'm going to hesitantly say I'm going to pick Penn State. I like your point because Ohio State beat Nebraska 52-17, but Nebraska had some success with that offense. Obviously, their defense couldn't do much. Justin Fields is just insane, and he's going to probably do the same to Penn State. But Nebraska was able to kind of move the ball, and they also had a couple turnovers. One of them was a fumble for a touchdown. So yeah. I don't see why Penn State can't at least compete, especially at home. The problem is again, Justin Fields is just that offense for the Buckeyes is ridiculous. It's pretty amazing, but I'm going to take Penn State to cover.
I agree with you guys. I like all the points. Ryan, I kind of echo every point that you made. And this Penn State defense that they're going up against, I know obviously Justin Fields rolled through Nebraska. Do you only have one incompletion in the game?
Yeah.
So
he did.
Okay, I'll go with the bold.
And we had to knock it out of the end zone.
Yeah, that's right. It was a good throw. Should have been a touchdown. That's not going to happen this game. Bold prediction, Michael. Justin Fields will throw more than one incompletion. But no, that Penn State defense, like you look at the final score of Indiana and maybe an average bettor saying, wow, they gave up 36 points to Indiana. I mean, it wasn't the defense's fault. Like they were put in some bad positions by the offense. Clifford had an interception at their own 7-yard line.
They barely gave up more than 200 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they shut Indiana down. Penix had a terrible game.
They gave up 3.5 yards per play against Indiana. 3.5.
That's
insane. Garbage.
That is, true.
It's insane. Indiana.
It's excellent. So they obviously, Ohio State's is much tougher, but I think that's a tough defense to go up against. Like you said, I think if Nebraska can have some success running the ball against Ohio State, so can Penn State. So I'm making +12 my lock.
Ooh, going to lock against the Buckeyes.
Like Trey, I would be surprised if they won, obviously, but I think they can cover.
Yep. Cool.
Okay. Let's move on here to the honorable mentions.
Alrighty here. My first game, I got Virginia Tech is favored 3.5 at Louisville. I'm liking Louisville here. Virginia Tech, they've struggled on the road so far this year. They had a close win at Duke, then they had losses to North Carolina and Wake. So they have been not great when they're away from Blacksburg. And I think Louisville has turned a little bit of a corner on their season, especially on that defensive side. Good games against Notre Dame where they held them to only 12 points. And then FSU last week, they're strong on defenses, again, holding them to 16. So I'll take the 3.5 points with Louisville as a home dog. My second game, Kansas State at West Virginia. West Virginia's favorite, 3.5. We already touched it. It's a surprising line for those of you that, you know, I guess are just looking at rankings and stuff. But I guess I do like K-State.
It's a surprising line for me, too.
Like, it's a surprising line. I would bet K-State. Like exactly. West Virginia did not look good against Texas Tech last week. They obviously lost in Lubbock. The two decent defenses that West Virginia's played, Jarrett Diggie has not played well. K-State has a decent defense. I like K-State. I'm going to take them as my lock of the week. We'll see how that goes. Third game, I got Missouri at Florida. Florida's favorite, 13.5. Florida hasn't played since their loss to A&M a couple weeks back. Missouri's coming off two wins in a row against LSU and Kentucky, so got some good vibes going. But I'm going to go with Florida here. Two touchdowns, I think, is pretty tight. I do think Florida's offense is a little too much to handle with the Kyle twins. They're going to have a huge day, so I'm going to take Florida.
They're not twins, by the way.
Oh, they're
just teammates. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
They might be fraternal, actually, twins. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they should change their names. Fourth game, I got North Carolina. They're favored 6.5 at Virginia. Virginia, they had a good fight last week at the U. They only lost by 5, 19-14. It was an ugly game. They held Derek King in check, so that defense is playing well. Meanwhile, UNC, as Trey touched on, dominated North Carolina State. Problem I see here for Virginia is they just don't have a very good offense. It's just going to be hard for them to stay with North Carolina in that high-flying attack. So Brendan Armstrong, I just don't trust him yet. So I'm going to take North Carolina minus the 6.5.
Okay, I've got UCF minus 2.5 at Houston. And Houston, quietly, because they haven't played very much, but they are, if they win this, they're going to be 3-0 in the AAC. So watch out for them as well. This will be a tough one. Dylan Gabriel is usually great. I think he's had, you know, one bad game this year, but his receivers, Marlon Williams and Jalen Robinson, two of the most productive in the country. I'm still going to take Houston, though, plus 2.5. We saw them go toe-to-toe with BYU for a good portion of that game. I know it got ugly late, but I like obviously the offense for Houston, Marquez Stevenson at receiver. And I think defensively, I've said this before, I like the talent. I think it's better than people think.
Huh? The over-under in that game is 82.5. Oof. It's one of the highest in a couple years.
All right, maybe I don't like the defense as much as I let on.
No, I'm just saying in general. They could be that much better than UCF.
Wow,
so.
Wow. That's huge. Purdue, -7 at Illinois. Purdue beat a good Iowa team without Jeff Brohm, head coach, of course, was out with COVID, and Rondell Moore was out. I think we still don't really know the reason, and doesn't seem like he's going to be back this game. If it would, I think it would be a big surprise. They do get Jeff Brohm back, so that's nice. And at receiver, I mean, they seem pretty well off. David Bell obviously is great, and Milton Wright, former four-star himself, had a great game one. So I think they can handle the load without him, and just didn't like anything I saw from Illinois against Wisconsin. So
it could be a nice 2-0 start here for Purdue.
Could very well be. Give me Purdue. Notre Dame -20 at Georgia Tech. I think the one game Notre Dame struggled this year against Louisville is understandable. First of all, because Louisville is not as bad as their record would indicate. And there was bad weather conditions in that game. So just kind of a weird game. And for Georgia Tech, they're just not playing well. Four of their last five games have been pretty lopsided losses, in a couple cases against not very good teams. So I can lay 20 with Notre Dame. Feel good about that. Indiana -10 at Rutgers. This point spread's come down. And like I said earlier, Indiana, 3.5 yards per play against Penn State. So I worry. I know it was against Penn State, a great defense, but worry a little bit that offense has regressed. And Rutgers, their defense is at least their stronger side of the ball. So maybe they can ugly it up and get a cover.
I like it. All right, my first game is Georgia. They're given 15 at Kentucky. A lot of points to give with this Georgia offense that I'm not overly fond of, but this game doesn't seem like a good matchup for Kentucky. Mizzou improved, but Kentucky was able to only muster 10 points against them. Georgia's D is far superior, should stifle the Kentucky offense, especially since, I guess, Terry Wilson might be out this game, so it might be the Joey Gatewood show. They also lost their big nose guard on defense, Quentin Bohanna. Might be out again. Georgia should generate a lot of good opportunities and get field position. I'm taking Georgia. Then we got Arkansas is at Texas A&M. The Aggies are given 12.5. I'm going to lay the points as well with the Aggies. I was really impressed with their last couple games, obviously beating the Gators, and then they handled Mississippi State on the road. I love how well Arkansas has played this year, and they're not a pushover, but they are, to me, at least a little bit of a pretender. I'll put pie in my face if they go into College Station and win this one.
Oh, that sounds like like a punishment. That sounds great. Putting pie in your face.
Oh, that's true. Maybe apple pie. Ooh, I love that. Thanksgiving coming up.
Some pumpkin.
But the Razorbacks, they've given up over 400 a game. Kellen Mond's played with confidence. He's going to be licking his chops. Same with Isaiah Spiller, like the Aggies. Big 12, Oklahoma, given 14.5 at Texas Tech. Not an ideal matchup for the Red Raiders, as they give up over 330 yards passing per game. But I'm going to give the Red Raiders a shot.
I would think
here.
It would be more after they gave up like 600 to Houston Baptist.
that's
I thought it would
point.
Be higher than that, honestly.
But I'm going to give the Red Raiders a chance here. They benched Alan Bowman last week, and it seemed to provide a little bit of a spark beating West Virginia. I know the Sooners defense looked a little better against TCU, but they haven't scared too many teams this year with their offense. So a backdoor score might be in play for the cover there with the Red Raiders. Finally, Boise State is -14 at Air Force. Air Force is impossible to gauge this year. They smacked Navy a few weeks ago, then they laid an egg against San Jose State. Air Force now has to deal with, they've got some injury and COVID concerns. Calhoun's kind of playing it close to the vest, but they do know that four offensive contributors are dealing with those injuries or COVID quarantines. So even if they go, they're not going to be 100%. So I'm going to take Boise. I think they can stymie Air Force's offense, much like San Jose State did last week.
All right. Let's close out this episode here with a questionable finish. Jim Harbaugh went with blue pants instead of khakis at Minnesota this past week, and the results, as everyone saw, were great. What's your favorite piece of clothing in your closet?
I will go with my slacks that I have. I really only wear them when I coach basketball games. So whenever I put those on, man, it's like, oh, I get to go coach some basketball games here.
Are we talking khaki? Are they black? What are they?
Like slacks, like kind of like dress pants.
That doesn't tell me the color.
Color.
Oh, they're black. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, there we go. I'm going with what I'm wearing right now. If you're watching on, on YouTube, College Football Bros T-shirt. There you go.
Hey.
Available nowhere right now, so it's a really good ad. Let us know if you want us to do another run of them, or we're thinking about doing some more merch. So let us know. Yeah. Email us, collegefootballbros@gmail.com, what you would like.
The material of those shirts are really nice.
It's great.
For me, there's this gray hoodie I have. It's really soft material. Don't really know how to describe it. It isn't too warm, but it's not too cool. Fan favorite of mine.
All right. Yeah. Auburn has been on the right side of some mistakes by officials this year that may have turned losses into wins. What is the worst call you've ever seen?
Mine's kind of actually more of like a non-call. The NFC Championship a few years ago, the Saints versus Rams.
Oh,
the Rams defender clearly committed pass interference. Like, everyone and their mother could see it. Saints, of course, then had to settle for three, and they left time for the Rams. They lost the NFC Championship. Ouch.
That was a rough one. Mine went against Auburn, actually, and I don't remember watching it live. It was a long time ago, but 2001. So Vanderbilt was down 7 in the fourth quarter against Auburn, and Vanderbilt throws a pass into the back of the end zone. The receiver is all by himself, and it just bounces off his hands, and the ball goes flying as he falls down. Like, it just... He never even close to caught it. And they called it a touchdown. And it was just the whole Auburn team is like, what are you talking about? Like, he didn't even come down with it at all. You've got to watch this play, because it's not, I'm not exaggerating. Like, it is just,
right.
I don't know how
you. Now that you mentioned it, now it does come ringing a bell on it.
Yeah.
It's weird that I haven't, it's not clear in my mind, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few years before, we were really into it.
Yeah. But they did, luckily, though, Auburn did end up winning the game, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That makes a big difference.
All's well that ends well.
At least it didn't cost them a win. That's good.
Right.
For me, I'll go with the 1972 Olympic basketball game between USA and Russia. The one where there's like three, Russia gave Russia like three opportunities at the end to try to tie the game, inbound the ball. It was just such a sham. Like, it was crazy. It was still, obviously, the Olympic team up to this day won't accept their medal, silver place medal. I don't blame them. It was bogus.
I'll never forget where I was.
Yeah, I was going to say, you watched that one live, bro?
Oh, yeah, it was great. You could also say Colorado's fifth down. That one was a story.
Of course.
Crazy one.
All right. That one, too. You remember where you were? Well, that was... When was that? Was maybe early 90s or something? Or was that...
It was like 90, I think.
90, okay.
Yeah,
so
we were alive.
You were three or something?
I was three, man.
Anyway, let's get to our upset special. Got to pick a 7-plus point underdog to win outright. I hit mine again last week. I had San Jose State over Air Force. This week, give me Rutgers as a 10-point dog to win outright against Indiana. Like I said, could be an ugly game. Defense, I think, is solid. And Sean Gleason, I love, the offensive coordinator for Rutgers. So maybe he has a few tricks up his sleeve.
I like it. Shiano's boys. I'm going to take Mizzou. They're getting 13 from the Gators. They've had to deal with COVID. The Gators have. They might not be all that sharp. Missouri's surprised me a little too this year, so I think they might give the Gators a game.
Alrighty. I am going to go with Arkansas. They're getting 12 at A&M. A&M seems to play some close games. They weren't all that explosive last week against the Bulldogs, Mississippi State. And I mean, I just think Arkansas is such an improved team. Sam Pittman's done a fantastic job. You know, we saw Vandy almost go to A&M and really almost win there. So I just wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas went and pulled this one off. So, and we kind of mentioned Arkansas could easily be 3-1 right now. So that sham call against Auburn. So it's a great start for them.
All righty. Thanks for listening to the College Football Bros podcast. Make sure you're subscribed, because soon we will be coming out with our Pac-12 preview episode, of course, getting us ready for that starting next week. Pac-12 coming back. And also shout out to some listeners that have a podcast themselves called Around the Keg, which talks college football as well. Go ahead, support some fellow fourth bros. I love it. I love it when I get emails from people that are starting their own podcast. So that's Around the Keg. Encourage you to check that out. And we will talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.